Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope that you enjoy this message from Michael Salisbury.
Who enjoyed Pastor Roy last week? It was one of the best messages I've ever heard on the Lord's Prayer. He's a gun. So I've just been thinking after Pastor Roy's message on the Lord's Prayer and how to pray and stuff last week about prayer, and prayer's our theme for the year. And so I've just kind of been, you know, dwelling, meditating, thinking and stuff about it. And I was really thinking, going, do I really, really believe in the power of prayer? Because we say we do, and I know I should. But do I genuinely believe in it? Like, when I pray, do I believe that God is listening and paying attention? It doesn't mean I always get the answer I want, but that He is actually listening, and there's actual power in the things that I pray, that the things that I can pray, God listens to, and heaven and earth move, that things change, not because I change them, but because God moves on my behalf at times. And so I've started taking Jessie to basketball, which is much better than last year when I was taking her to dance. We went to dance last year, and I love spending time with Jessie, but that, you know, that was just stretching me, I've got to be honest. I love sport, and I'm sure someone will disagree with me, but that's not a sport. And we can, we'll have a discussion about this later. There's no ball involved, so clearly not sport. We've been going to basketball, and we've been going down to GSAC, and I was going to talk Calvin McDonald up, but Calvin McDonald's helping run the basketball program down at GSAC, and he met me down there when I was signing up Jesse last week, and he's helped grow this thing from 5 kids to there's about 850 of them now, and does an amazing job down there. And I was just really struck with the fact that maybe some of us don't see him do a lot of stuff in church, but he's an amazing example of who Jesus is out there. That we were standing there signing up, and all these parents are coming in, and he knows all of the parents. They all say hello to him. He says hello to their kids. He's just doing a great job of being really involved in the community. Anyway, we take Jesse down there, and I don't know if you've been to GSAC, the Sports and Aquatic Centre. 9 bazillion people go there, and there's 12 parks. So it is a madhouse down there trying to get a car park. There's like arrows on the road. Everyone ignores which direction you're meant to go in and out. If they think they see a park, they go down the wrong way. There's cars going everywhere. So my plan's to get there about 15 minutes early, spend 25 minutes driving around looking for a car park, and then just park illegally and pray I don't get a ticket. And it sometimes works. But we go in there, and I go, Jess, can you pray for a car park for me? And Holly does this all the time. And Jessie prays and goes, God, we need a car park fast. And I without a word of a lie, it happened last week and it happened again yesterday. Within 20 seconds, a car reverses out, like right there, and I'm the next person in line. So she's got faith. And I've got to be honest, like sometimes I don't think to pray about stuff like that. I just get irritated by it. I just drive around going, this is ridiculous. And she just prays, and she knows that when she prays, God listens. And God, like, I can see that God is teaching my daughter that when she prays, stuff happens. This next one, I don't like to over-spiritualize things, but I'm just going to throw this next example out. So the deal is, you play basketball, you get a Buffalo Bill afterwards. So it's like getting a pizza and Diet Coke. It works. There's a bit of good and a bit of bad. So I've got Harry with me. We go to the Buffalo Bill shop. I felt I deserved a Buffalo Bill as well. So we... And do you know, guys, know the competition? Do you guys all know what Buffalo Bills are, by the way? So they're an ice cream and they've got a bubblegum nose and there's about six different colours. So the idea is that you guess what colour the nose is and then you open up the packet and you see if you're right. My kids think if you're right, you get a free one because I just, you know, go, oh, next time you get a free one. So we play the Buffalo Bill game and Harry's going, I want green. Now, green is the rarest colour. Green is like finding the golden ticket. So we're in the car and we're pulling up and Harry's going, I just want green. I'm going, well, mate, sometimes it doesn't work out that way. And just go, I want pink. I go, I just want you to be quiet. And so we're about to go into the Buffalo Bill shop and Harry's like adamant, he's not having the Buffalo Bill unless it's green. And if it's not green, we'll just get another one. And I'm going, mate, it doesn't work that way. Jesse wants pink. I'm partial to yellow, but that's I can roll with whatever. I'm quite flexible. And so Jesse says, let's pray about it. And I went, I said, Jess, it's okay. We can probably do this one solo. Jesse goes, let's pray. I go, you can pray. I don't really want to attach myself to this one. If God's listening, I'm going, God, this is her, not me. I'll save my answers to prayer for something a little more significant, please. So Jesse prays, God, Harry wants green, I want pink, Dad wants yellow. So we go into the shop, and stay with me on this. We go into the shop, we get three Buffalo Bills out of the freezer, I grab the top three, I put them in the bag, we go into the car. I go, all right, kids, you ready? I pull one out for Harry, I pull one out for Jesse, I pull one out. We open them up, Harry gets green, Jesse gets pink, I get yellow. Now, I don't know, I'm not saying that God, I don't know, moved my hand to grab the right ones or changed the colours or what. But my daughter thinks that when you pray, God listens and things happen. It's, you know, it's a great lesson she's learning. So if you've got a real need in your life, don't text me, text Jessie, because she's all over it. I was having a conversation with a guy at work. We're having a kick of footy and stuff, and it was saying what we're doing for our weekend. We're having a kick on Friday. And he said to me, you know, what are you doing? I said, I've, you know, going out for dinner on Friday night, and we've got doing some stuff in the garden Saturday, and I've got a, you know, all the boys are having a night. The local neighbourhood boys are all going to one of the guys' house for a barbie and hang out and stuff last night and church and stuff. And he goes, what's the deal with that church thing? Like, you know, like you do it every week, right? And I go, yeah, every week. He goes, it's going to get pretty annoying, doesn't it? And I go, sometimes. But I could have said all the time, sometimes, I'm being honest. But I said, and he goes, so do you like actually believe that stuff? I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, like the whole, you know, God thing and Jesus thing, do you really believe it? And I go, yeah. He goes, like, that's all the stuff in the Bible, you actually believe that really happened. Like Jesus died and really came back, that whole Easter thing, really, you honestly believe it. And I went, yeah. And he said, why? And I went, because I choose to. I choose to believe it. I choose to believe that the Bible's real. I choose to believe that God's real. I could say, I could give him examples of, you know, things that I would say are undeniable God experiences. But he would pass them off as chance or coincidence or good luck or fate. But for me, I would say, I choose to believe. And I was thinking it's a real faith statement. And I was thinking about some of the, over the journey of time, some of the great faith statements that have been made throughout the history of church and some of the times where there's been great doctrinal differences. Groups of people have got together and written creeds which help identify them and what they believe. It helps distinguish between different doctrinal beliefs and stuff. The idea of a creed is an acceptance or rejection of a said creed. It would act like a yardstick of correct belief. So you would be able to identify other people who believed the same thing as you did. It talks about the Greek word in the English translation is symbolon, and it's a word that means half of a broken object, which when placed together with the other half, verifies the bearer's existence and identity. So people would, in a time of doctrinal differences, come up with a statement of their faith. And then I would come and we would find out we were both followers, and I would say my creed, my statement of faith, and we would decide, he would be able to either repeat it to me and go, we agree on that, or we'd come to a point of difference. But it helped identify the bearer's identity, it verified the bearer's identity. And there's a great creed that's written around 325 AD that I want to share with you, and it's called the Nicene Creed. And it simply says, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of being one with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us, for our salvation. He came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. It's a confession of belief. It's a statement, a strong statement. It's a personal statement of faith. There's a guy that Phil used to train when he worked at the gym, and I've trained, and he's a surgeon, and he's also trained as a rabbi. And he's an incredibly smart guy, and he used to just love having faith discussions / arguments with us. So he would come with a passage of scripture, and then he would argue that with us. And Phil did okay in the argument stakes, but man, this guy knew the Bible far better than I did, the Old and the New Testament. He had studied it thoroughly. And so he would come and he would go, this scripture, do you really believe it? And I would go, yes. And he'd go, why? And I'd go, 'cause. And one day I said to him, I go, mate, does it matter? Because it doesn't matter what I say, you could ask me that question, it doesn't matter how convincing my argument is, you're not going to change your mind. And he went, no. He goes, but there's a big difference. You think you're right, I think I'm right, but you're actually wrong. And that was his way to end the argument. But he used to just constantly go, like, do you really believe it? And so if I was to make a statement of faith, I would say, I choose to believe it. I choose to believe that in the beginning there was nothing and God just spoke and things came into existence. I choose to believe with nothing more than his hands and his breath that he just created man and breathed life into it. I choose to believe that the story of Noah and the ark is an incredible testimony of God's punishment and then grace and forgiveness, not just a cool story to tell your kids. I choose to believe that despite the fact that Abraham and Sarah were well past age, through God's supernatural power, they managed to conceive a child. That when God's hand moved, plagues just swept through Egypt, and the people, his people, were let go, and then the seas parted, his people went through on dry land, and the army that followed was swallowed up. I choose to believe that a boy called David killed a giant with nothing more than a piece of leather, a stone, and his faith. That God was actually walking through the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I choose to believe that for thousands of years, the prophets foretold the greatest story that would ever be told, the story of Jesus. That for centuries and centuries before Jesus' coming, God breathed inspired words to these prophets. That it wasn't lucky guesses, it wasn't creative interpretations of Scripture, it was God breathed inspired prophecy. I choose to believe that Jesus was born to a virgin mother, that he was God's son in the form of man. I choose to believe that he healed the sick, he opened the eyes of the blind, he made the deaf hear and the lame walk, that he experienced all emotions. He was physically hungry, tired, frustrated. He experienced the same things we do, that he was truly God and truly a man at the same time. I choose to believe that he came not just to inspire a good life, but to offer a God life. I choose to believe that he was crucified and that in body he was stone cold dead. I choose to believe that Jesus literally went to hell and back for me. He suffered so I don't have to. I choose to believe that the same incredible power that spoke the universe into being raised Jesus from the dead, and the beating heart stopped beating when he was crucified and then started beating again when he was raised to dead, that it was he was physically dead and became physically alive again. And I choose to believe that same power is available to me, that it lives inside me. I choose to believe that I've been forgiven. I choose to believe that when I speak, God listens. I choose to believe that my prayers are not optimistic offerings, but supernatural utterings. So when people ask me, why do I believe it? It's because I choose to. The Bible, it's written, and I choose to believe that that is God's word to us. That through my prayers, things change. That I choose to believe that when my daughter prays for a car park time and time and time again, it's not lucky, it's not a coincidence that somehow God makes it happen. I don't know how he makes it happen. I don't know why he prompts her to pray at a certain time, but he knows. He knows everyone that's getting in their cars. He knows which way I'm going to choose to drive. Like when I think about all the things that need to happen for God to answer that one little prayer of a five-year-old that we would get quickly a car park, it's pretty significant. It's not like I'm driving along and I go, Jesse prays, can we have a car park? And God's hand lifts a car out and we see a car move and get put over there and then my car drives in. It's not like God creates a new car space. But whatever reason, somebody decides to get in their car at that time. I go that way, not that way. I go at a certain speed so that the people in front of me have already gone in their cars and I just happen to be behind and in the right. Like it's astounding the things that need to happen for me to get a car park in that place. Like it sounds so simple, but when you break it down and you think about all the little things that God needs to orchestrate for that to happen. And it's no challenge for him. I couldn't organise that many things at once. But for him, he's doing that for me and for 9 bazillion other people who are all praying at the same time. I don't know, have you seen Bruce Almighty? That scene where he suddenly gets all the prayers and all the emails are coming in and it's just he's overwhelmed with the weight of prayer. God never gets overwhelmed. God's never too busy answering someone else's prayers that he won't hear yours. He can just do it all. Mark 10:13 talks about having childlike faith. And for all the dads in the room, my kids are almost, well, one of them is still in this stage. Do you remember when your kids thought you were the strongest person in the world, that you could fix anything, that you knew everything, that they just had this beautiful, ego-boosting innocence about them? Jessie's moved past that stage. If something breaks, she wants to take it to the neighbour's house who's a builder. She thinks Uncle Phil's stronger than me, which is clearly not true, even though he's got giant arms. But Harry still thinks, I am Superman. Anything that happens, Dad will fix it. Dad will lift it. Dad will sort it out. And I think it's with that innocence and that sense of trust that God would want us to go to him in prayer. That he would want us to go to him in prayer like a three-year-old looking up to his dad, thinking his dad can achieve anything. He hasn't learnt to be cynical yet. He hasn't learnt that Dad might not be able to fix anything. He's not taking a weight of past experiences and doubt. He's just going to Dad because Dad sorts it out. And I believe it's with that kind of innocence that God would say, that's why you're meant to have childlike faith. You're just meant to come to me and let me sort it out, that you would hand your stuff over to me and trust that your spiritual father has your best interests at heart. I just want to read you a passage out of Daniel. So if you've got your Bibles and you want to read along, you're welcome to. We're going to read from Daniel 1. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of the Judah, into his hands, with some of the articles of the house of God which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Then God instructed the master of his eunuchs to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace, whom they might teach the language and literature of the people too. And the king appointed them daily provisions of the king's delicacies and of the wine that he drank. And there was 3 years of training for them, so at the end of that time they may serve before the king in his house. Now among those sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave them new names. He called them Belshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Listen to verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief that he may not have to defile himself with the king's food. Now the Lord had brought Daniel into favor and goodwill, and the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king who has appointed your food and drink. Why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? That would endanger my head before the king. So Daniel argues that he doesn't want to eat food that he believes is not food that he's allowed to eat according to God. And so he has this discussion and he's very convincing. And in the end he said, I'll just eat really plain stuff and let's just do a trial. Let's see how I look in comparison, how my testing is going and my training is going in comparison to all the other people who are eating everything, and we'll just see how it goes after a few months, and if I'm right, well, you'll let me keep doing what I'm doing, and if I'm wrong, well, I'll do what you ask me to. And of course God grants him incredible favour and he rises up to incredible prominence in the kingdom, and God really blesses him. But I love that expression in verse 8 that says Daniel purposed in his heart. So Daniel makes a thought out, determined decision about his faith and about what kind of behaviour he's going to have based out of his faith. He doesn't make it on an emotional whim. He doesn't let outside circumstances dictate his inward decisions. He didn't get caught up in some moment of feel-good worship and make some outlandish emotional statement. Not that any of us would have done that. It's about 400 times when I was 18 years old. He didn't get caught. He didn't just take the wide, easy road. He purposes in his heart to pursue the godly option. He makes a determined decision about his faith and trust in God. So the question for me becomes, have you purposed anything in your heart this year? Have you made any significant decisions regarding your faith that will create a different outcome to every other year? Last year we talked about why not. This year we're going to talk about prayer. So maybe we should purpose in our hearts that this year we're going to pray. And we're going to choose to believe that our prayers will be heard by God. We will choose to believe that our prayers will have impact. That we're not just praying because we're meant to, but we're praying because we believe that when we pray, God moves and stuff changes. A couple of weeks ago, I was having a discussion with a few people after church about prayer. And there were five or six of us. and it became very evident that we all have very different ideas about prayer and how we should pray and personally how we go about it. And we had differences on the lengths that we prayed, whether we sit down quietly, whether we walk around, whether we run, whether we're listening to music, whether we're quiet, whether we're yelling down and calling down for vengeance, or just quietly journaling our thoughts, music, no music, praying like for one big 20-minute block or 10 two-minute blocks or 5 5-minute blocks, whatever. But everyone was really, really different. And no one was right or wrong. Because it's not about doing it a certain way. It's about your heart when you do it. It's about you purposing in your heart that you are going to connect with God. It's about making a decision that you are going to bring to God the good and the bad. I love it when Jessie just comes, she started school, and she just tells me about it. For someone who talks non-stop, which she does, it's surprisingly hard to get any information of significance out of her. And those rare moments when she'll stand still enough to actually have like a really good conversation about it, I just love it when she tells me that stuff. And I think, how much more must God love it when we just tell him our stuff, even if he knows it? Sometimes something will happen and, you know, Jesse will be at our neighbor's house and something will happen and, you know, so the mum or the dad will tell me, and I already know about it, but I love it when she tells me too. Someone said something or someone did something, or there's been some corkers over the years. But even though I know it, I still love her telling me about it. And God feels that way about us. He would just have a great desire that we would purpose in our hearts that this year we are going to pray. We're going to teach you guys about prayer, different elements of prayer, ways to pray, a whole bunch of different stuff. We'll try and educate and inspire and encourage, but it will mean nothing if you don't purpose in your heart that this year you're going to pray. So make an unemotional decision about your prayer life. When we talk about like people who decide to get fit and whatever, we talk about doing it unemotionally. Because it's great to be motivated, but motivation is just an emotion. It comes and goes. One minute you're motivated, the next minute you can't be bothered. So it's more than just going, yeah, that was a great message on prayer. I'm going to go home and pray. It's about making an unemotional decision, purposing in your heart that this year's going to be different. This year you're going to pray more. This year you're going to pray with a different expectancy. This year you might start praying. I don't know, whatever it is for you. But determining in your heart that you are going to pray and you're going to attach some faith to that prayer. It doesn't have to be masses of faith. God says you only need a tiny bit of faith to give him room to move. So this year I'm going to choose to believe in the power of prayer. I'm going to choose to believe in five-year-old prayer. Genuine, heartfelt, innocent prayer of someone who just goes to their dad and tells him their stuff. And for you guys, we go, let's make this year about prayer. We don't do it because we found a whole bunch of really good messages about prayer that we can just rehash. Something Phil preached in another church a few times, and we go, we could run with that for a while. We don't do it because, I don't know, we want to get something out of it. We do it because we want you guys to grow in your relationship and connection with God. We do it because we want you guys to take the God connection that maybe you feel here and experience it at home all the time. We do it so that you can go out of the walls of this building and actually have an impact for God. Believe that God will speak to you. That when you're walking down the street or when you're talking to friends, that God will give you at times just inspired words to say. That people will come to you and ask for prayer. Not Christians, but just random people that you're in connection with. Our neighbours, we've been neighbours with them for about 3 years. And they're quickly have become some of our best friends, and our kids hang out together and go to school together and just interchange between the fence whose house they're at. And Holly and her are good friends, and he's a ripper bloke, and they will not come to church. They are just not even interested. And we've asked him a few times, and he just says no. I go, okay, that's cool. But over the last probably 6 months to 12 months, there's been some really significant events in their life, and they have she has sent Holly a message every time asking her to pray with her some personal stuff and with some stuff with their friends. And she sent her a message a little while ago saying, I don't know why, but when I send you a text asking you to pray, it seems to make it better. So could you please pray? We've got to take our kid to the hospital and get a test and da-da-da-da. And you go, wow, this lady's got no desire to come to church. She doesn't really even believe in God, but she believes that when Holly prays, it makes a difference. You know, and I just really believe for all of us, we will have more and more of those opportunities in our life if we purpose in our heart that personally we will pray. I might just invite the worship team to come back up. Wish Harry was there to see that. Yeah. Just can't even do it one serious moment, can I? Just got to ruin it every time. Damn it. So maybe before we start worshipping, we might just provide space for a couple of minutes for you to unemotionally just have a think, allow God to speak to you. And I would challenge you to purpose in your heart to make this year of prayer, to say, I choose to believe this year in the powers of my prayers, not in the powers of Pastor Phil's prayers, in the prayer team's prayers, but in my prayers. I thank you that you listen. I thank you that you are never too busy, too overwhelmed. Not to give me your ear. And so, Lord, I just purpose in my heart that this year I would pray more, that I would work at having more childlike faith, that I would choose to believe that as I pray, things happen in the supernatural realm. I just pray for everybody here who has made that decision today to purpose in their hearts, that they would choose to pray more, choose to believe in the significance of their prayers. Thank you for the testimonies that will come from this, the stories of God answered prayers. Lord God, everything from car park and Buffalo Bill moments, Lord God, to people coming to know you and everything in between. I thank you for the sick that will be healed, the hopeless that will receive your hope. I thank you, Lord God, that when we as individuals and we as a church pray, you listen. I thank you that you move on our behalf, that you have our best interests at heart.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.